Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scouser Tommy's on Anfield Index and Anfield Index Pro. And yeah, we've just had the worst week as a Liverpool fan in a while, it feels like, because anything bad in as a Liverpool fan is multiplied if it involves Everton, and that's the reason it's been bad. So basically, yeah, we've just had the derby week and it wasn't great. We've also coming to the end of the time with Klopp as manager. We've got West Ham ahead. Yeah, our old friend David Moyes. Could the nightmare continue? But we're not going to be downbeat. You know what I mean? It's sort of, let's get rid of this. Let's get it out of our system. What's just happened and start looking forward, maybe. I'm with Jay Reid as always. And we've said we're going to try and see if we can get you to have a free episode, if you like. Try and keep the time down on this one a little bit. But knowing us, we won't. So usual thing, if you want to listen to all of our podcasts and the whole of them, every minute of them, best thing to do is go and join up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. And it's not that expensive. And you get loads of stuff, not just podcasts. You get access to Discord and you become part of, I think, one of the best LFC communities around. So have a go if you can. Just give it a try, if nothing else. Do without a cup of coffee next time. And as I said, probably less than a cup of coffee. But if we are, if not, if we do keep it short, you'll hear the whole show. If not, you'll hear it cuts off after half an hour. And I'm sorry if that's the case. We've probably got a lot to talk about, even though there's a lot of stuff we don't want to talk about. But let's get it out of the way. Jay, yeah, we were looking ahead to the derby. We weren't really sure what was going to happen. We knew that if we were being honest, we knew our league hopes had already pretty much gone. But what you want to do is you want to just make it so everyone else has to make that decision for you rather than making it yourselves in this way, at least. And of course, it's the derby, isn't it? So I kind of knew they'd be on a high. Kind of knew they'd be maybe a bit more relaxed after a terrible season. Unless the Premier League come along and give them even more points deductions for all these other irregularities, shall we say, that's been going on. They already looked safe before that match. Now they're absolutely safe. And I mean, it's a proper party atmosphere. All the old records were out. I mean, and they are really old records that they single on to. The air raid siren and everything. But yeah, in the end, I don't know, maybe we got spooked by the air raid siren. We were just, in my view, absolutely awful. Even the local lads who you think, if they play badly, it's through nerves. It just felt like we'd stopped. You know, the season's done now. And it just felt like we were already on the beach. And it's a shame. I don't know. I'd have been tempted to say stick the kids out, and at least I'd have had some experience.
Yeah, I think the line that Liverpool tag along as their motto is "it means more." And as local fans, you know, and no disrespect to fans all around the world, there's two games when the fixture list gets released in the summer that you look for. It's the United games and the Everton games. Because to us, they mean more. And
yeah,
that is more to do with the environment that you live and work in. Obviously, you're more likely to encounter Evertonians and Manx in and around Liverpool and the nearby areas than you probably are if you live in, you know, Glasgow or Coventry or, you know, Bangkok or somewhere like that. You know, it's just a fact of, you know, maybe a few more United fans around the world than Everton, but it's hard. And they're the games that, above all else, you know, the results matters to a huge degree, but the performance as well is what's key. And, you know, if you go into them games and you give an absolute solid performance and you're done by a referee indecision, or, you know, it's just a case of a last gasp winner where something's gone wrong, where defensively or whatever, and, you know, you can, we give everything and it was just unfortunate, then you can sort of swallow the pill with a little bit more, you know, solace. But to go in to a derby and come out of it with a weak performance where I don't think we won a header in the first half, you know, all across the pitch, you know, as you mentioned, there's a couple of local lads in our team and it looks like they shit themselves in the nicest way possible. There was only Luis Diaz really who could come out of that game and put his shirt on the dressing room floor and say, you know what, lads, I was the only one who tried out there. You know, the rest of you were an embarrassment. And it's hard to take, you know, it's been 14 years since we beat them there, and boy, did I know about it yesterday in work. And, you know, you never like to give Evertonians anything, but, you know, you literally have to hang your head in shame at times yesterday when you're walking around and speaking to Evertonians, because they bullied us, they beat us in every aspect of the game of football. And if Hall Hall, to be honest with ourselves, like you said, the air raid sign at the beginning might have spooked us. We were beaten before we got on the pitch. You know, they wanted that. That was a free hit that they would have got in the derby. It's, you know, their situation has spanned out that they're pretty much safe, as you said. And, you know, the tagline was, we're going to spoil your title chances. And, you know, and according to them, we lost the league at Goodison Park. But, you know, we lost the league about four weeks ago when we fluffed it at Old Trafford, and then we decided to not show up against Crystal Palace at home. You know, 5 points drop there was where the league was lost in terms of the title race, and we would always be on the eight ball before we even kicked off in the derby. So, you know, let them have it. You know, parade might be pending, I don't know. DVDs, Blu-rays, whatever they want to issue these days, I don't know, they might be coming out. But one thing's to say, and that we can take away from it, is you don't get a trophy for beating us in the derby.
No, you don't. Unless you do as it was in the old days, you know, in the 80s when the derby was played at Wembley for the FA Cup final and stuff like that. And yeah, we won trophies then. That's something that Everton have forgotten about. I mean, maybe we should do a trophy for the derby, because then they'd have a chance at winning one now and again. And it's the first time we've lost a derby at their place since, I was looking the other day at the team that was out the last time we lost a derby. After the derby, I was looking at it. And it's moved out. Was it 13 years ago or something? Yeah. Awful sort of time for us. And I think this is the thing I've sort of taken from this is, look, you're going to lose matches over the course of the season. And as you say, you want to lose them in the right way. You want to lose them in a sort of way where it is down to the ref. And I mean, we can't blame the ref. It was funny you're saying that though, and I'm thinking, they always blame the ref, and at times they've lost games against us. And maybe they're starting to click now. Maybe they're starting to realise that blaming everybody else instead of looking inward is sometimes, it's not good. It might make you feel better. It might make you feel great that, yeah, it was the ref's fault. But unless it really was the ref's fault, you've got to look at yourselves. And that's something that they've not done for years. I mean, I didn't think the ref was great, because what he fell for, it's not what he fell for as much as us. This thing where, you know, you get a player comes into, we're pressing and all the rest of it, and there's the slightest bit of contact on them, they're on the floor in a heap. It's like a technical foul. You know, they just sort of, the slight bit of contact go down. There's no way that the contact did that. But, you know, traffic warden ref mindset is touched, down, free kick. And we fall for it. You know, I mean, we just need to be wise. So when the ref's being like that, don't fall for it. And I don't know how many times we've conceded goals this season from set pieces that were down to soft fouls, like, you know, that keeps happening. And he just push under more pressure and all the rest of it. But yeah, we can't blame anyone but ourselves. And we'll come on to it a little bit later. A few people have asked me this about whether it's Klopp's fault for announcing that he was leaving at the end of the season. And I've seen people say we've gone off a cliff since. But when you actually look, it's something like the next dozen games after he announced he was leaving. So we just won the semi against Fulham, I think. And then we had the FA Cup game against Norwich. And we won that something like 5-2. It was sort of, I think something like, I'll say the next dozen games, it's like we won 10, drew 1, lost 1. Something along those lines. It's not, it's just off the top of my head. But it was something like we lost 1 and drew 1 in a whole load of games. Maybe you know, the loss, funnily enough, was helped by a referee. That was against Arsenal. Not sure if the draw, who the draw was against now. Probably shouldn't have been a draw. But that, to me, is not Klopp sort of demoralising the whole squad or getting them to think of things differently. But what I think's happened is, to me personally, we've been on some kind of mad adrenaline rush. We've been, because obviously when we did hear that announcement, we were all gutted. Then we started winning. We were on this amazing run, apart from that those couple of hiccups, back in the league race and all the rest of it. And it's just, I think, the Man United defeat in the FA Cup didn't do us any favours. Then dropping points against them, to me, like, the whole fan base, you know, sort of like the percentage of fans who'd started to give up hope, sort of, it sort of shot up then, in my view. And I'm wondering, you know, probably behind the scenes as well, the players were thinking the same. And it's just they just can't raise the game. And I think physically tiring is one thing, and I don't think you can say these are necessarily physically tired, because how many of them have played a full season? You know, Ali's not played a full season. You know, we can go through all the team. Trent's not, Robbo's not. You go through the whole team, and hardly anyone has played the majority of games, hardly anyone. So you can't really blame it on tiredness, in my view. But you can blame it on mental tiredness. And I just think that's what it is. I just think mentally, the whole lot, and even Klopp was talking before the press conference about how tiring it is. It's as if they'd sort of, the adrenaline had gone, and now they can't get through what's left. And we were always punching above our weight, I would imagine, as well, if you think about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, in hindsight, this season has probably been better than what we anticipated or expected at the beginning of the season. You know, coming off what happened last year, you know, we remodeled the midfield with new players, you know, shipped out a load of ones who weren't good enough anymore. You know, a couple of changes here and there as well in the team. But I think had anyone offered us at the beginning of the season, you'll have a trophy in the bag. You'll be in Champions League football again, or Champions League position, whatever, all being well, that's where we finish. You know, you'll compete for the title, or you'll compete with the top end of the table, you know, for the most part, and if not, till the end of the season, if we continue, hopefully with four wins to end the season, you know, we'll finish on a relatively decent point total, like not far off the league title, but ultimately four wins short. You know, people would have said, well, yeah, you know, like where we was last year, that's clear progress. And, you know, it was a season of adjustments. You know, we were obviously not anticipating the Klopp news, but, you know, we all realistically put this season down as, yeah, well, it's one that we'll just adjust to. We'll integrate the new players, you know, and, you know, maybe, you know, a different way of playing in the type of playing style that we signed. Those midfielders to what we were used to, and, you know, then the year on we kick on and we'll go for the title. And, you know, we kind of punched above our weight early on, and it's the hope that kills you, as they say. You know, we were in for the four trophies at one point, and things were all looking rosy, you know, you know, at much to the expense of Liverpool fans, of people that mocked out how much we were looking forward to going to Dublin for the Europa League final, and, you know, rolling out the, when the Klopp news came, you know, that the Klopp farewell tour was going to end with trophy leading and lots of success and wins, and it just hasn't panned out that way, and it's a bit saddening. You know, I think I tweeted the other night after the game, it's not what Klopp deserves as a man and as the manager of Liverpool for this season to end with a whimper. And, you know, that was how the derby was, really. We went out with a whimper, and it's now upon the team, you know, the coaching staff and everyone else around the club, to make sure that we send this fella off into the sunset, you know, with as many victories as we can in these next four games, and ensure that, you know, okay, it's not been the fantastic, glorious end that we'd all hoped for, you know, maybe 7 or 8 weeks ago, but give them something to remember it by. You know, I was looking at our fixtures, and more so than ever, the two home games, you know, it's Spurs at home next weekend, and there's a lot of wrongs to be righted there from the, you know, the return fixture that we had earlier on the season, where we were we were robbed of any sort of results. And, you know, there's no consolation in coming out with apologies afterwards. It doesn't change the results. It doesn't, you know, give you your players back. It doesn't give you your injuries back. It doesn't give you your offside goals or your red cards or anything like that. But it kind of does feel like we owe them one. And, you know, then we end the season with Wolves at home in our final game, which will be emotional for so many reasons. But just making sure you finish with a win. And, you know, you go into the summer, you know, summer of change, as we're going to talk about, but you go into the summer thinking, well, you know what, the last time we've seen these lads play, this team play, you know, we put on a good performance and we put out a victory, and that's what you want now. And obviously there's a couple of away fixtures in there, but it's sort of what we need to hold a fella, because he's given us everything. And it was sad to see the other night when he was slumped sort of on the sidelines at Goodison Park after he had chewed the ear off the fourth official for the first half, that he basically gave up. And if he's
the fourth official was the ref from that Spurs game, wasn't he?
It was, yeah. And if Klopp had given up and checked out, which it looked like he kind of had, then, you know, a team is a reflection of the manager, as they say, and they'd certainly given up and checked out as well in that game. And we just got to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off and go again for these next 4 weeks. But yeah, I think it's not a rallying call, but sort of a call of honour that we need to pick ourselves up and give this man what he truly deserves in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I think if this was a computer game and you were trying to get your high score on it or try and get some kind of achievement on it, best thing ever. At this point now, if it's a computer game, you'd just be saying, right, cancel this, check out now, start again, just leave this game, quit now. I've lost. But you can't do that in football, but it feels like we kind of have quit now. We've kind of gone, right, we've quit. So I just hope he can do one last time, one last big boost of morale to his players and say, look, let's just finish it in a good way. Let's just go out. Think of the games as meaning nothing. They mean nothing. It's going to take, I mean, I know there's still people sort of fingers crossed because it's not mathematically impossible, but there's too many things would have to happen for us to win the league. So just completely forget about it. We shouldn't. I've gone into the Everton match thinking that the league was still on, really, because it was still far-fetched then. Just go and enjoy the next few games. It's kind of what I said last week, but I think it was still hard to get that out of your head, that there's still a remote chance of the league. So let's go out and make sure of it. And as fans, that's what we're expecting. Then as players, we're not seeing that. So I'm hoping there could be a difference. Just had a quick look as well at the lineup the last time they beat us at their place. And it was like Paul Kinchesky's in it, Kyriakos is in it, Raul Morales, remember him? Joe Cole was obviously working hard up front. We had the broken Fernando Torres. It just wasn't a great side for us at all. It wasn't a great time. Arteta's on the front of the programme. There's a picture of the programme here with Arteta on the front. I wonder if they ever did find that money. And our manager, Roy Hodgson, I think that says it all. Referee that day, Howard Webb. So, you know, so... And it's taking, I'm over it now. It's taken 13 years, but I'm over that game now. But the opposition manager that day was our mate, David Moyes, who he epitomised the derby for me for years because he was just so angry every single time. He was always angry. And then when he wasn't angry, he was just so miserable and down, and the whole world was against him. And that mentality, I think, is if there's one thing that he left behind as a linked legacy, it was that mentality. And maybe they're finally starting to get rid of it now. But who we got next? David Moyes. I don't know. It feels like, could he be? I mean, I said before about him being a nightmare. It is. It's like, I was doing some radio recording quite late last night. So the last thing I did before I went to bed was talk about football and West Ham. And it's David Moyes in your head, and you're going to end up having nightmares, aren't you, about him? It's like, he's there peeping up out the gutter, ready to do something bad. But maybe not. Maybe not. We've not actually done that badly against West Ham down the years, but certainly since they went to that place. We have been beaten once, I think, by them there, but we just need to go out and go and get a win, don't we? I mean, they've still got an outside chance of European qualification, I think. Their manager's probably going to go. They still haven't decided, or he hasn't decided. As a club, they've not decided yet whether he's staying. Feels like two sort of clubs who are feeling a bit miserable at the moment. But let's go down there and cheer ourselves up, maybe.
Yeah, and to add to the fact that it's a 12:30, of course. Yeah, you know, get one more in before the end of the season, ATNT, lads. I kind of get the feeling, you know, that I stumbled across a programme that was quite popular a few years ago the other day on the telly called Takeshi's Castle. And there was a game on it which reminded me of the last few weeks where the contestant runs into a maze of doors and there's the bad guys or whatever inside multiple doors, and you open a door and you go, ah, shit, there's a bad guy. So they turn around and go for another one, and they end up being, ah, there's another bad guy, ah, another one, go through another door, bang, in the water, out the game. And that's just kind of about our season's gone the last few weeks. And, just when you've gone through one bad door and noticed there's a bad guy there and Sean Dyche and Everton, and you go into another one and there's David Moyes in a goblin suit. It just does sort of feel like we're running around in circles and opening doors that aren't actually leading to anything. And we have inevitably ended up in the water early at this point. But yeah, I am not filled with overall optimism about this game. There's so many factors laying into that. Obviously, the last performance in the derby, the fact that it's now a short turnaround, early kickoff, as we said. David Moyes, a West Ham team that are struggling. I don't think they've won at home in 5 games. As you say, their season is sort of petering out as much as ours is. There's an outside chance of European football, but I think they've got to make up a gap on Newcastle to 2 points. But Newcastle got a game in hand on them, and Chelsea are behind them as well with 2 games in hand by just a point. So you kind of imagine, as the form book may be, West Ham will probably finish ninth in the table, which is credible for West Ham, a club of that size. That if the teams who finished above them would be Chelsea, you then look at Newcastle, United, Spurs, Villa, ourselves, City and Arsenal, and you'd probably say, well, actually, you are in the right position as being the best of the rest. People would maybe look at, say, Brighton and Wolves at times could be, relative competitors for that next sort of position within the realms of 9th, 10th, 11th and 12th in the league. But it's West Ham, it's not a massive giant of English football, but I think it's going to be one of them games where a performance, as I said before, is just as good as the result. And if you can get any sort of performance that was better than the other night, then it's an improvement and a positive result. A clean sheet would be a massive win. Even if it finished 0-0, you'd probably feel like, we've progressed there in what we've been doing in recent weeks, because we've really struggled to keep a clean sheet this season. And yes, we know we're misfiring up top, and there's a multitude of reasons for that, but I guess it's kind of sad to say that if a 0-0 was offered, you wouldn't be too disgruntled with it. And that's just a sad indictment about our season's petering out. But I suppose it's a Saturday lunchtime kickoff, and what more can you expect?
As I'm sat there now thinking, I was just looking at these the previous results, and I don't want to go all TNT Fletch. I was about to say then, I thought, oh God, it's TNT, isn't it? It's Fletch. With his never-ending stats, he's going to have so many irrelevant stats about... I'm going to have to watch it on mute if I watch it. I'll find it on some... I'll be abroad watching it, yeah. God, and it's like... We haven't... Actually, when you're saying about clean sheets, this is the stats I was going to say, but since they've gone to the London Stadium, we've played them, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven times, and we've had 2 clean sheets. In all that time, the first time we played there, we won 4-0 and we won 2-0 in 2020. So we probably won't be a 0-0. But yeah, on the whole, we've done okay. But I mean, this thing about Liverpool is still in place, I think, this season. And I was actually looking, even like last season, it was starting towards the end of last season with Liverpool, this sort of thing about just being the first to concede, then having to come back into it. I mean, it's all well and good when you're making Hollywood movies, but we're not. We're just trying to be footballers. And I think clean sheet isn't a bad thing to aim for, in all honesty, just for one game. Just try and get a clean sheet. And a 0-0, as you say, about taking a 0-0, I think there's something in that, because we just lost that ability to go at the other end and score. And I've said before, I would rather have a season of 4-3 wins than a season of 1-0 wins, But to get that, you've got to be able to get your goals. And we just seem to be dried up at the moment. Lost in ideas, just lost in execution. Lost in all of it. I'm hoping the weight's been lifted, though, now. I'm hoping that the early kickoff doesn't ruin them the way it normally does. Throw some kids in. And the other thing is, like, I mean, Klopp hasn't really got the ability now to say to players, well, you're crap, you're dropped. You were crap, you're dropped. You know, bringing some young kids in to teach them a lesson. There's no point doing any of that now. When you've played with him for three games. I mean, I was this thing on Twitter at the moment with John Terry, a clip of him talking about when, I think, Boas was the manager at the time, and they were sort of, he stuck all the senior players in economy on some away trip, some pre-season tour trip, stuck the youngsters in first class, and John Terry threw his toys out the problem with the others. And they said they wouldn't be going unless they went in into first class and swapped them round, and they won. They swapped them round. But that manager didn't last that long at that club, and they went through a spell of having managers that didn't last long at that club. And one thing you can say about Liverpool is we have managers that last long. We generally are pretty patient. Roy Hodgson, we've already mentioned, didn't last long. Brendan Rodgers, well, it's no wonder Roy Hodgson didn't last long. I mean, that's the other thing. When we played that derby and lost, we were 19th or something at the table before the match, something like that. So Roy obviously didn't last long. Brendan Rodgers was given a bit more time, but obviously 6-0 or 6-1 away to Stoke isn't gonna make you last much longer. Klopp has been here a long time, and that's more in keeping with what we do. But he is going, the new guy coming in, and it's looking pretty nailed on now that one way or another, our new manager is going to be a guy from the Netherlands, Arne Slot. I'm assuming that's how I pronounce it. I know at least I can spell this one quite easily. So, yeah, there's been a mixed reaction, hasn't there, from fans about this. I think there's been, you know, a lot of sort of positives and negatives, but in the end, it's a bit of an unknown. I'm going to be positive about it. How are you feeling?
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, mag boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
I think the best way to sum it up is, you know, people cry arse for Michael Edwards to come back. And the Michael Edwards recruitment policy and techniques, which were famed for sort of signing players under the radar, you know, sort of getting very good value for money and then extract the maximum value for players who should be moved on for whatever reason or another. And I think one of the comments made regarding the new manager was from Michael Edwards saying, I'll make the brave choice, not the popular choice. Now, obviously, you translate that into what we're probably looking at. Maybe by the time this is released, as we record on a Friday afternoon, Klopp's press conference has just been done. He spoke about Arne Slot saying, basically, if he is to be the guy, then that's good. You know, like, I'm excited. He's got an exciting brand of football, and he would fit in well here if he is to be the guy, obviously. You know, until a contract is signed and it's not official, but it's all pointing in that direction. And the popular choice was Xabi Alonso for a long time, you know, the emotional connection as the former player and whatever. And that was quickly ruled out. And that would be because maybe we were never actually in for him, or, you know, Xabi decided that it was too soon and it's time to move on. And obviously he's been very successful with Leverkusen and that's not quite finished this season. He can potentially skip a treble for them, which would be iconic for a club of that size. And we moved then towards Ruben Amorim, and I think A lot of people had the eggs in the Ruben Amorim basket, and, you know, again, that then becomes the popular choice. And all the while, maybe Michael Edwards was just thinking, well, this is just a huge distraction that everyone's seen looking at, and I'm going to get my business done elsewhere, and I'm going to get the final manager, Arnie Slot. And I think if you look at the records of Amorim and Slot, then they're quite similar. You know, won a league title, won a domestic trophy, you know, progressed through the domestic ranks within their own leagues, their nations. But what I think we've been sort of led to believe is that the transition for the Ruben Amorim to come in a back three traditional formation, and, you know, a lot of changes, would be a bit more upheaval than Arnie Slot, who plays a traditional 4-2-3-1 normally with Feyenoord. And we'd probably have more players accustomed to fit into that quickly without having to, you know, overhaul so many positions and so many players. And I think also, like, the character of the guy from the short amount of video clip that we're obviously doing around on social media, he speaks English very fluently, he speaks well. I was speaking to a guy who's a Feyenoord fan who give a glowing assessment of him. Actually, I dug up a message back from September 2022, and he said, you know, if ever Klopp was to leave one day, Arnie Slot would be my pick. And you think, well, you know, 18 months on, it's wishing. But he said, like, it's a big step. And, you know, anybody who was going to take this job, it's a huge job, it's a huge step. I think there's probably only a couple of managers in world football you'd look and say, you know, well, they've had the previous experience to come in and know what this is going to take. But if we think back to Jürgen Klopp's time, yes, Borussia Dortmund, huge club in Germany, but in the shadow of Bayern Munich, and Klopp stepped up, you know, after a successful time in Germany and proved it with Liverpool. And very similar with Arnie Slot and Feyenoord, who were, you know, the third biggest team in the Netherlands behind Ajax and PSV. I know it's not necessarily going to form this season or the last few seasons for Ajax, but, you know, traditionally you would expect those two to be ahead of Feyenoord, and that's what we're sort of competing with, rightly or wrongly, you know, financial-wise, regarding City and Chelsea in the league, and obviously Manchester United, as much as they fail, and they're still a massive global brand, and a huge team that we seemingly have mental difficulties in beating this season. But it looks like it's a sensible choice. You know, it's going to be what people wanted in terms of the data-driven recruitment approach that Michael Edwards operates under. And it looks like we're going to a more conventional European model, in terms of, you know, the manager is sort of not a manager per se, it's a head coach, and you've got your technical director or sporting director or whatever the title Richard Hughes is going to have, and you've got the guy above him in Edwards. And that may be what FSG have always wanted, and they see the power to Klopp and Linders and allowed them a little bit too much rope, and it's not proven as fruitful in terms of possibly some of the signings over the last few years. And maybe, you know, the natural ending of the Klopp era has come at this time, and it's now time to sort of wipe the slate clean. We've got a couple of familiar faces back in with Edwards and whatever, but it's a time to take a little bit of a fresh approach, and it'll be a nice refreshing change. Not to say that we want Klopp gone, of course we don't, because he's brought us some great memories, but it kind of just feels as though it's the right time. I'm sort of thinking, you know, maybe Benitez era, when it sort of just felt as though he'd taken it as far as he possibly could, and a change was probably for the best. And okay, the guy that come after Benitez was not the greatest, but there is a lot more hope in what Arnie Slot has got than, you know, Roy Hodgson. And that's probably what now leads us to hopefully a prospector's future and a successful season next year. But we've just got this one to finish first.
Yeah, I mean, I think I always say with Rafa that I think what had happened there was all the stuff that was going on, all the politics, all the players being turned against the manager, against each other, and all these sort of internal factions and things. In the end, and even fans sort of blaming Rafa for stuff, and it was just all toxic, and it's a shame how that happened. I think had it not been for that, maybe we'd have still been by that time saying, Rafa, your time's up, because maybe we still would have had problems, you know, getting that next step, you know, that step from second to first is massive. Even Rafa said that. But once it's happened, hasn't it? And Klopp leaves on a good note, and that's another good thing about the way he's left, I suppose. He had to leave one day, and I'm glad he's left on. When the dust settles, we look back and say he's left on a high. You know, we will. I'm sure we will when we look back. We might say the really picky people will say he should have won more leagues, but you've got to think what you're competing against financially. And finances maybe isn't just about the players on the pitch, but we'll not go into that now. I think what's interesting about this, though, is when I've seen people say that he's just like another Brendan Rodgers. He's not. Brendan Rodgers was a coach with good potential, and when he came into Liverpool, you had to give him a chance. But really, his success wasn't at the top level. He wasn't used to dealing with players at the top level, and the pressures that come with a club like Liverpool, it's massive. We'll find out whether the new guy's good at that. But I'd say being one of the, you know, winning a league in that nation, as much as it's like classed as not as tough a league as ours, it's still a tough league. It's still a league full of people who'll be critical of you. There's still a lot of competition. There's still a lot of rivalries between clubs. There's a lot of things in common with it. And obviously we don't know. It's only, you know, you're looking at these options, you think who's going to work, and you can put all the data in you want, you can put all the emotion into it you want, but you're still hoping for the best. That's kind of how it works. But I think one person who's been really interesting to talk about it is our mate Derek. Dirk Kuyt's been speaking to The Athletic. And as he says, Feyenoord are his Dutch team, and his son plays in the academy there now. And so he's had some contact with Arne Slot. In fact, he spent a week with him around this time last year. He said, you know, just to see how he goes about his job. And Kuyt is actually managing a Belgian club at the moment himself. And I think, according to Wikipedia, so you never know if it's been changed by someone, he's just got them promoted out of the, sort of the Belgian Division 2 to the Belgium Division 1 or whatever. So that, you know, good to Derek. Good luck for Derek, because, I mean, he was always a sort of hero of ours, especially the way he went about Derby games, but let's not go on about Derby games. But what there's some of the other stuff about Slot that I find interesting. So Dirk's saying that he helps to like younger coaches like him, and he was willing to give him some time to sort of, you know, show him what he did and let him learn from it. And that was just before they became Dutch champions, Feyenoord. He watched his training sessions, and he's just talking about the person. And I think this is another thing that kind of, all the data in the world can tell you so much about someone, but it's knowing what the person's like, I still think, is key. And I'm sure that Liverpool, you know, Michael Edwards hasn't been brought in just because he's good at working a spreadsheet. You know, there's more to it than that. And it's knowing those nuances about people and whether they'll fit at this club. And everything about him says he will. We didn't want a Jose Mourinho type of figure, did we, that's divisive? We didn't want anyone who's been somewhere else and has got baggage. This may be, you know, like someone mentioned Thomas Tuchel. I mean, I'm sure there's a good coach there in that man, but I just feel like it'd just be, you know, Chelsea rejects and all that kind of stuff. We needed someone who came in and to English football was ours from the off, if you like, and I think that's what he is. One thing that Kuyt's saying is, who's his style most like? Is it like Klopp, like Guardiola, like Mourinho? And he say, and Kuyt says no, he's got his own style. He doesn't copy anyone. Knows exactly what he wants, believes in it, and to me, this is one of the important things. It's attractive attacking football. I want to see, when I go to watch a match, yeah, I want it to be a game that leads to us winning the cup or winning the league or winning something great. I want to see a match where we win that game. But I don't mind if it's like, I mean, if we'd had the last sort of five games, we'd won 1-0 in the most boring way. Don't worry, I wouldn't be complaining one bit about that. But you cannot watch that all season, can you? You want things to be exciting. And if they're exciting, the crowd are on your side and the whole experience is there. And that's what we're for. I know some people say it doesn't matter. To me, it does. And then one other thing I've sort of seen in a few places is how good he is at getting young players to come through. We've got an amazing load of young players now who are on the verge of being great, but they still need work. They still need some refinement. They still need improvements and help and advice and being shown what the weaknesses are to work on and being told what the strengths are so they can make them even stronger. You know, even Conor Bradley, as great as he's been, I'm sure Slot's, I'm sure his mouth's watering the chance of working with him and getting him to be an even better player. You know, and some of the young lads, the Jadon Dans and, you know, the midfield players we've had coming through, there's so many of them that had a chance this season that have had cameos, and I'm sure he'll get all the data on them, have a look at them, have a chat to them, work with them over pre-season. And from an FSG point of view, you could argue that's what they want. They want young players coming through, saves them some money. But there's a flip side to that. You get the young players coming through, it saves you some money that you can then spend. It's not going to go in FSG's back pocket. That's not the way they work. It's then going to be spent on new players that are hard to bring through. So if you haven't brought someone through in a particular position, we can go and spend big money on them. And I think that is one of the key reasons that we've gone for this man.
Yes, I think that's a very, very valid point. And, you know, we've had a very good season on the whole. And, you know, one of the most enjoyable things for me was obviously the Carabao Cup final. And we look back on that day with fondness of how much of a role normally it was Tightlander kids played. And obviously there was a lot of inexperience in that team. And there was moments in that game where some boys become men and had to step up on the bigger stage. And boy, did they do that. And you can never take that away from them, whatever they do in their careers. And you said earlier on, you know, would it be a case of in the last season, just, you know, play the kids and be a fair shout for some of these lads to come in. I thought the comments from Klopp the night regarding the derby were a bit strange, and the fact he wouldn't bring Jaden Danz on because he would have got eaten alive by Tarkowski and Bramfleet. Well, yes, Bramfleet is only a couple of years older than Danz himself, and with all due respect, Jaden Danz isn't exactly a small fella. You know, looking at him, you're not bringing on Ben Doerr, for example.
No.
When you look at Jaden Danz, he's a lot more physically developed, had a bit more stature to them. So I thought he would have been all right. And you know, we've seen a lot of appearances from young lads this season. You think of the likes of Bobby Clark and McConnell, who've stepped in on a few occasions. You know, even the goal from young Kumas in one game. You know, and there's been small appearances now and again. For a couple of defenders, I think it was Scanlon. Chambers made an appearance in the Europa League, and we've got Owen Beck, who's seemingly doing very well out in Dundee on loan, and Conor Bradley, of course, has came through. And I think the most notable one obviously is Jarrell Kwanza, who came Monday night and lovely tackle. You know, that's what we wanted in the derby. That's what we want every player to do. And yeah, it was sort of embarrassing, as we say it, as a word we use, that he was the fellow who came off the bench and looked like, you know, this is what we should be doing. And yeah, you know, FSG would like to see a profitable academy because they've invested in it, you know. And now obviously we know that the Kirby complex, it's all together under one roof. And, you know, if Arnie Slot is a guy who's willing to invest a lot into youth, because that's kind of how the Dutch football system works, you do have to rely on your youth progression. Then so be it, and good on them, because, you know, nothing gives the fans much more pride than seeing, you know, an academy project coming through and performing well. You know, and I said before about Trent and Curtis, who put in what I would say shithouse performances in the derby for local lads, but the local lads, they know what it means, and I'm sure they're probably just as downbeat as anyone else as to the performances that they showed you the night. But they'll bounce back. They know what it takes, what it means. And if we can see that, you know, across each season, a few youngsters coming through and break into the first team, and yeah, maybe the resources can be used in other parts of the field, then that's good. You know, it's the proper way to do things. It's how a proper football club should be done, you know, all above board, all finances ticking above, no legitimate reasons, and bought and paid for in the right way and manner, and fair value for everything else. And, you know, if every football club operated like that, you wouldn't have the likes of Mark Albridge speaking like he did last night, saying, you know, the Premier League is what is tagged as the best league in the world. But, you know, he was right. If anyone's seen the clip, you know, Man City walked to the title most leagues because of fair and foul means, and the three teams that come up have got to bounce straight back down because they're simply not good enough, and the competition is becoming massively diluted. We just need to level the playing field a bit more, and there's clubs like ourselves who are trying to do that, and if we can all get more clubs pulling in that direction, then maybe we'll have the best league in the world. But yeah, maybe a big discussion for another day, that one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's, and I'm sure we'll be talking all summer, because obviously when the matches are out of the way, it'll be all transfer speculation. There'll be so much of it, and people who claim to know exactly what's going on, when a lot of the time they don't. Because let's face it, this name came completely out of the blue a few days ago. No one had mentioned him apart from your message off your mate, but no one had actually linked him with the job, as far as I know, even a week ago. There was no sort of serious links with him. You could write a list of potential candidates by going finding the clubs, the top five clubs in every league, and naming the coaches, but that's the only way I think he'd have got in, because no one was really talking about him. There's a lot of stuff goes on at Anfield that doesn't get out still, and that's something to keep in mind over the summer, but we'll see what happens. There's a few players as well who might be on the way out, I think. Yeah, as much as we've had a great season, there's definitely somewhere which, like, it might be time to have a quiet word, and I'm hoping that's something that Slot can do as well. He can come in without that kind of emotional baggage, that tie, and he can use more of a level head and say, look, you might have been great for this club, but you're worth X amount of money towards in cash, and we can get so much more for that. Off you go. But we'll see. And likewise as well, I mean, there's a few players who are coming down to the last year of the contracts, and, you know, he needs buying off them from the off. You know, there's players who I hope do stay. But the main thing is he's got to be his own man. He's got to do what he thinks is right. He's got to understand the club and what we expect. And I don't think it'd be long before he's got his own song. When we could sort of slightly change the Klopp one, but nah, keep that for Klopp. What I'm hoping, though, is that we get it sorted soon, because I think uncertainty is a nasty thing. And even if it's uncertainty in a good way, you know, like, I mean, West Ham are going through uncertainty because they don't know if the manager's staying or going, and what the, you don't even know if he's staying or going, never mind who's going to be the manager next season if it's someone else. At least we did have that. But for everyone, you just need to know what's going on. Hopefully he'll be signed up. Maybe he'll even have a chance to come and see the players before the end of the season. I'm not sure, probably not. But all things considered, it seems to me like a good move, and it's been a bad week. It's been a bad month, maybe. It feels like it's been a bad forever. We've had that, okay, the win in the Europa League that didn't mean anything. We had the win against Fulham that turned out not really to mean anything. We've had those drop points in the league in the games I don't even want to talk about. But now I think it's ended on a positive. I think let's send Klopp off on a high with the last few games, and let's get ready for this new guy to come in. Feels like, I don't know, maybe we'll have a bit of smile in this summer.
Yeah, I mean, so there it's what we owe the manners at the very least, is that to rally for the next four games and sort of wash our hands of this defeat. And, you know, I suppose you're only as good as your last game, which was terrible. Maybe, you know, it could be a blessing that actually the game is coming quite quick. Maybe, you know, not the half 12 that we all love on the fixture list calendar, but, you know, it's a sure option that we've been dealt. And, you know, if we go out and we get a win, you know, a clean sheet, you know, and, you know, a good performance, you know, and maybe a couple of players who've been questioned, maybe tear up and tear in with a goal or two, or, you know, a very solid performance across the field, and then we've got a whole week before we play again against Spurs. And, you know, that our penultimate home game, it's going to be a flag day as the Spire Klopp supporters group have all called for. And, you know, given what happened with our last sort of home games, obviously the Hillsborough Memorial for one, and obviously the Atalanta sort of flag day protest in the one before regarding the second price system, you know, it should rouse a good atmosphere. And, you know, a win will always make us feel better. And if we can do that this weekend, you know, we've got a week then to look back and say, well, actually, we've washed our hands of the derby. You know, they've had the moments in the sun. Evertonians will revel in it for a long time, but, you know, we will forget about it quickly and move on. And if we can get a good victory, a good win, you know, a lot of positives to come from it, then, you know, it will sort of put a bit more of a good gloss on the next week, and hopefully a good gloss going into the end of the season, and we can give this man what he actually deserves, and it's the best send-off that we can do. And yeah, you said about the undecisiveness over what's happened with Arne Slot. I think all talk that's coming out is very quickly looking very positive, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was announcements over the weekend, maybe once both teams have played in their respective leagues, that, you know, it's formally announced that he'll be coming, because I think every comment that's being made is certainly putting the pen closer to the paper.
Yeah, fingers crossed. And I think just one last thing as well for me, let's make sure that we get him to sign a contract quickly, because if he does wait and see us play against West Ham, we don't want him to be put off by how bad we are. And I think, what the hell am I doing going there? There's too much work to do. I don't think he will. I think it's going to happen. And I think we've got loads to look forward to. So we'll leave it there now, because I think we might just about been able to get this out to you as a free podcast. So if you're hearing this now and you're not a subscriber, I hope you've enjoyed it. And I hope you do think of subscribing. But for now, that is it from us. Thanks to Jay. Thanks to you for listening. And we will see you soon.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.